This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Phoebe Judge. This morning, Army Brigadier General Jeffrey Sinclair avoided jail time and received a fine in his sentencing for sexual misconduct and inappropriate relationships with subordinates. Sinclair's attorneys negotiated a plea agreement in the high-profile case, but a military judge ordered a lesser sentence than the agreement. The decision comes in the midst of a national dialogue about sexual assault in the military ranks. Michael Biesecker is a reporter for the Associated Press. He's been covering the General Sinclair case, and he joins us now with the latest. Welcome, Michael.
Thank you, Phoebe.
So tell us about the judge's decision.
Well, the way the military justice system works, when the trial entered the phase where they decided what the punishment would be, the judge heard testimony for a couple of days from character witnesses, nearly 30 of them, that talked about Sinclair's career, what a great leader he had been, especially in wartime. He served 5 combat deployments. And that was to mitigate the potential punishment that he would receive, and apparently it worked. Judge Pohl's ruling was quite a bit more lenient than the punishment that he had agreed to in the plea agreement. And the way the system works, the judge would not have known what was in the plea agreement. That was under seal. The judge hears the testimony. He comes up with what he thinks the punishment should be and then unseals the agreement, which is typically more lenient. But in this case, the judge's punishment was less.
What does this mean for Sinclair in terms of retirement, rank, et cetera?
Well, the punishment he received today is only the first of 2 parts that he'll face. He will now receive a formal reprimand from his commanding officer at Fort Bragg, and then he will go before essentially a disciplinary board, a board of Army officers that will likely reduce him in rank, possibly 2 ranks back to lieutenant colonel, and that will have a great impact on the amount of retirement he'll receive going forward. The defense has estimated that if he's not back 2 ranks, which is expected because the rule in the military is you're reduced in rank to the last rank at which you served honorably. And in this case, he began his illicit affair as a colonel before his promotion to general. So that's why he would be reduced 2 ranks. And they estimated that if he lives to be 82 years old, that will cost him about $831,000 in pension and retirement benefits.
But right now, today, he's being fined something like $24,000.
$20,000. $5,000 a month for 4 months. He makes a little over $12,000 a month. So about half his pay, a little less than half his pay.
And then something like $4,000, which he'll be charged, they say that he misused the company credit card, if you have company credit cards
sure.
In the Army, and that will be a $4,000 charge that he will also have to pay.
Well, he pleaded guilty. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, I think that it's a little bit confusing. So in a military context, the judge's ruling cannot impose a punishment harsher than the plea deal, but the plea is sealed until after the judge makes his ruling. Can you explain this whole process a little more?
Well, the idea is that you really get 2 shots at getting a fair judgment. You can negotiate your plea, which is what he did on the front end. And then it's under the seal because there is a chance that whatever you pleaded to, separate, it's very different in a civilian court. Once you reach a plea deal, that's the punishment you're likely to get as long as the judge approves the deal. But in this case, the military judges do consider mitigating circumstances. They do consider what's known as a good soldier defense, essentially weighing the 27 years of service to the country that General Sinclair had. Especially his service in combat, some of which is still classified, exactly what he did for the country. But the judge was able to consider that as a mitigating circumstance in determining the sentence.
Let's take a step back to what happened during this week's sentencing hearing. We saw today that after the decision came down, General Sinclair was smiling and laughing and hugging his defense team. But earlier this week, just yesterday, the general broke down crying. Tell us about that.
Well, it was kind of a moment. I mean, typically he's only spoken in the courtroom when pleading guilty, when answering direct questions from the judge about whether he understood the implications of the guilty pleas he's entered over the last couple of weeks. But yesterday was his opportunity during the sentence phase to basically talk to the judge directly and ask for leniency, ask for mercy, and he did that. But it was emotional. He broke down specifically when talking about the impact that his acts, which he professed expressed regret for, had had on his family. He is married with two young children. The last 2 years living on Fort Bragg, living on base, you can sort of imagine what the climate has been for his family. And then also he broke down when talking about how he had failed the women under his command that he had pleaded guilty to acting improperly with, even particularly the woman with whom he had a 3-year affair that accused him of sexual assault. He apologized directly to her, even though she was not in the courtroom, and said he failed her as a leader and that he was profoundly sorry for that.
What did prosecutors want from the sentencing hearing?
Well, it was sort of a telling moment yesterday when they delivered their closing argument. They did not ask for prison time. They asked that Sinclair be dismissed from the Army. Essentially, he would have been divorced, for the lack of a better word, from the United States military and would have received no retirement benefits, no health care, no VA benefits, no GI Bill benefits for his kids. He would just be out. The prosecution asked for that, and then the defense argued that that would actually punish his family as much as it would punish him. In their closing argument, they made the point that his wife had served at his side as a military spouse for all these years, and that that would rob her of her retirement as well, in their view. But they did not ask for jail time, and he faced more than 20 years if he had received the maximum sentence on the charges he pleaded guilty to.
And there was a letter read from the general's wife, Rebecca. Tell us about that letter.
Well, he also broke down a bit when that letter was read by his attorney. Now, his wife could have testified during the sentencing phase. She elected not to, citing the difficulty of going to the courthouse and then also having to walk in and out past the media. But the judge did allow a female attorney on the defense team to read her letter. And in that, she talked about the profound regret that her husband has exhibited in the last 2 years. And while she said she's still working to forgive her husband and definitely doesn't excuse his behavior, that the last 2 years, in a way, has been an opportunity for them to regroup and reconnect as a family after he was relieved of command and sent home from Afghanistan in 2012. At that point, he had been overseas or on deployment 6 of the years total since 9/11, about half of the last 12, 13 years he had been away from home. So with young children, you can imagine that, you know, I guess they saw it as sort of a perverse benefit that he finally got some time to be at home.
One of the pieces of testimony that was brought up during this hearing is a skit that occurred in 2010. The prosecution used the skit as an example of General Sinclair's, I don't know, the wide knowledge that General Sinclair may have been having affairs. What went on in this skit that was described?
Well, the testimony was that, and part of the prosecution's point, whereas the defense tried to say that he made a personal mistake and something that he wouldn't be punished for in the civilian world, essentially an extramarital affair, the prosecution really hammered home that he was supposed to set an example for his subordinate officers of how you're supposed to behave. And clearly, you're not supposed to have sexual relationships with your subordinate officers. That disrupts the chain of command and undermines your authority with the troops. And so they enter testimony that while no one had direct proof, there was wide suspicion that there was something going on between he and the female captain, between those in the command who knew them. And that suspicion, there was a sort of a end of deployment party where there were skits, and some officers performed a skit where a soldier wearing a brunette wig, looking or attempting to look similar to this particular female officer, pantomimed performing oral sex on someone who was supposed to represent the general. And not only was the general in the audience at that time, along with about 600 service members and their families, his wife was in the audience and saw that. So the prosecution entered that testimony as evidence that he basically undermined his authority with the troops and didn't foster a good example or climate for his subordinates.
As you mentioned, technically under the charges, General Sinclair could have received 25 years in prison. He received none. What kind of response are you hearing to this information today?
Well, I've seen response. I've talked to a retired military judge as well as a retired major general who was the top lawyer in the Army while he served. Both of them were very surprised that General Sinclair did not get prison time. Both of them estimated that he probably would have gotten 12 to 18 months, was sort of what they were expecting. And as part of his plea agreement, which was unsealed after Judge Pohl made his ruling, under the plea agreement, he agreed to serve up to 18 months confinement. So even the general's defense team was likely expecting some prison time. Now, the political response has been pretty swift. Members of Congress are already expressing dismay that he was not given prison time just based on what he pleaded guilty to.
Michael Biesecker reports for the Associated Press. Thanks, Michael.
Thank you, Phoebe.
This is the State of Things. Just ahead, a dance performance provides a new interpretation of a key element of the civil rights movement. You're listening to the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill.